You are listening to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast with host Sean Castrina.
Today's going to be great. I always say it's going to be great, but I have an author. I have a leadership expert. He's a vice president of Chick-fil-A's High Performance Leadership, and he also wrote the book Culture Rules, which is out right now. Mark Miller, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Well, thank you, Sean. I'm excited.
All right. Well, anybody with, I don't care. You can attend a cult and you go through a Chick-fil-A drive-thru and you know something's running at a different level than any other restaurant. So, whether you like them or you don't like them, you have to acknowledge when something is run extraordinarily well. So there is not a leadership gap at Chick-fil-A. So tell me about your position there, because you started there, according to my math, like 50 years ago.
Almost. Yeah, 100 years ago. Yeah. I've been selling chicken a long time. I started in one of the local restaurants as an hourly team member, and I was awful there. So I made a strategic career decision and I quit because I thought it would look better on my resume to have left voluntarily than to have been terminated. And I went and got another job outside Chick-fil-A, and I got laid off 6 months later. And I said, I need a job. And so I went to the corporate headquarters of Chick-fil-A and walked in and told them I wanted a job working in their warehouse. A few minutes later, Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, came out, took me into his office to conduct the interview, which makes no sense at many levels. However, I learned that I was interviewing to be the 16th corporate employee. And I tell people that a combination of God's grace and lack of discernment on Truett's part, he gave me that job in the warehouse. And that was about 44 years ago. And I've had trouble holding down a job ever since. I've worked all over the business over four decades.
You know, it's funny. And actually, I've read his book as well. And so it says something, because when you're in the, not that that's the early stage, because Chick-fil-A was about late 1940s when the actual, I think the original.
Well, he opened his first restaurant in 46, but the first Chick-fil-A was in the late 60s.
Yeah. So, 67. He's been doing it for a while. Where I was going with that is, it doesn't surprise me that he'd interview you. Because I'm like reading the book, and then I know how I am. Whenever I'm in the office, even if I can stop in for a minute when my partners are doing an interview, I always still love to like run my three or four questions, look the person in the face, get an idea. So where do you see yourself a couple of years from now? Where do you fit here?
Right.
So knowing that he did that doesn't surprise me. And I like that.
Yes. And so about 25 years ago, I began to focus more and more of my time and energy on helping our leaders grow their capacity.
And do you define as a leader within Chick-fil-A, if I may say that? Because I don't know what level within the organization do you define as a leader?
Well, we began immediately, I say 25 years ago, trying to serve our people leaders, those folks that have responsibility for individual contributors, or they lead teams, either functioning teams, cross-functional teams, or functional or cross-functioning project teams, those men and women. And we wanted to serve our restaurant operators and help them as they try to grow up the leaders that they need for their restaurants. And so it's actually a pretty large group.
Yeah.
Shortly thereafter, we decided we would share the things that we're learning with the world at large. And so we've been doing that for almost 25 years.
And that is that your key response? You're over top of all this, obviously.
Well, I do several things. Again, I'm spending more and more time on leadership development these days in various forms and functions, and then serve on other cross-functional teams, and I'm an officer, and there are other things to help keep me busy.
Yeah, no, I mean, success of anything dies and falls on leadership, and many would say, if we're teaching leadership, we would actually hope everybody within our organization is a leader in some capacity, because you want everybody, even if they come in at the base level, to aspire. And what are the downsides of having leadership skills?
Right. I don't know that there are any.
Yeah. So let's talk about your book, which I have a copy of, Culture Rules, The Leader's Guide to Creating the Ultimate Competitive Advantage. Let's do a quick tour through this book. Why did you write it? I always say, as a writer myself, why did you write it? What's the big takeaways the audience will get from this?
Sure. So again, for the last 25 years, we've been trying to help leaders grow leadership capacity. And a big part of that strategy has been to look toward the horizon, look for emerging needs, issues, challenges, and opportunities, sometimes to be so bold that we might look over the horizon and say, what are those topics that we can begin forming a point of view that might serve our leaders and the larger leadership community? A few years back, we identified culture as one of those topics. This was pre-pandemic, and we saw a lot of leaders struggling with the topic of culture. I think that is a byproduct of complexity, of growth, of many other factors, but we were beginning to see it emerge and said, hey, let's try to form a point of view here to serve leaders. And then I think when the pandemic hit, it put a lot of pressure on culture, organizational culture, and it both exposed the cracks and showcased some of the strengths. But we were very thankful that we had done this work so that now coming out of the pandemic, we have something we can share with leaders that we believe will be helpful.
Well, there's one thing that, and I've talked about this in the podcast, that you guys did better than anyone during the pandemic, in my opinion, is the shift to the drive-through was the fastest operational massive shift. I mean, it's not, because I'm just looking at where I live, where they basically shut the restaurant down. This is a profitable restaurant, busy, shut it down for, I believe it was 90 days, came back. Two lanes working literally absolutely seamlessly. And you know, my suspicion now is, you know, if I looked at the numbers, like 80% are coming through the drive-thru now, 20% are inside. I don't know the numbers of it, but it was a definitive, you guys didn't blink on that. Like when everybody else was, okay, yeah, we can run our drive-thru and so we're okay. You guys said, no, wait, there's an opportunity here.
Sure. And I would say the success that we enjoyed with that strategy is built on two things. One is the caliber of our local restaurant operators. We have some amazing leaders at the restaurant level. So I think that was the first enabler. The second is that we had started working consciously and purposefully on improving our drive-through about 5 years before the pandemic. And so it was just a great opportunity to kind of flex some of those muscles that we had been working on during that pre-pandemic era.
And I think that's the whole idea of you're always testing things. You know, Amazon will say that you don't know all the things that we haven't done that failed in the testing stage, but look at the ones that worked. But when you talk about like the drive-through, the typical experience with a drive-through is you pull up to a window, you have to repeat yourself twice, because it never sounds right. You don't know if they're listening. Then you pull up and you pay the same person or possibly one person prior to that, you pick up your food. Where Chick-fil-A, you're met with a friendly person 50 feet before you ever, you don't even get to that. They're taking your order. They're greeting you. They're, you know, the money's paid. It's just such a seamless, like I'll get in the biggest line at Chick-fil-A and I'm like, okay, I set my watch. Because I love leadership. I love how things get done. And I'll be like, how fast? Like in my mind, I'm like, there's no way they can get me through here and that. And like, I'm done. And I'm at like, you know, 4.5 minutes. And I'm like, that's crazy. I was all the way out in the middle of the Lowe's parking lot.
Well, we're going to keep working on it. We want to make it even better.
So what define for me, what is great, healthy culture within an organization?
Great, healthy culture in an organization is one that aligns with the cultural aspiration of that organization. They also create superior performance over time. And finally, they're always working to make their culture stronger. Yeah. I think those are the three signs.
I mean, there's no question anybody goes to a Chick-fil-A can get a quick feel without anybody saying anything that something's unique there. That the level of the workers, like it's almost like the good workers went and all invited two of their friends to come work. Like it's like, well, nobody ever ran an ad for like a Chick-fil-A worker. It's almost like every one of them were invited from somebody who understood the culture. Like, hey, you would fit great in this. You would love to work. You'd fit. That's the feel you get.
Well, many of our operators lean on that strategy. just as you articulated, if you've got great people, ask them to bring their friends and family that they would want to work with. And it's not the only strategy, because you in fact may need more people than you can find using that approach, but it is a great strategy for many of our restaurants.
No, it's amazing. Again, I'm interviewing Mark Miller, the author of Culture Rules. Tell me some key takeaways in the book for my entrepreneurial audience, where this book could just be so helpful as they try to develop a great culture.
All right. Well, I'll do this quick. I know this is the 10-minute entrepreneur.
I can go 15 minutes because I ate Chick-fil-A twice a week. There you go.
So here's the deal. We researched this topic extensively. We talked to leaders and individual contributors from 10 countries, over 6,000 people in our sample, either interviewed or face-to-face. And from all of that, we extracted three rules that every leader has to understand and embrace if they're going to play the game well, if they're not going to be disqualified. The first rule is to aspire. You have to share your hopes and dreams for your culture. Now, that may feel like a blinding flash of the obvious. You would be shocked. We met so many leaders who could not clearly, simply, in a repeatable fashion, share their hopes and dreams for their culture. So it's not the most important of the three rules, but it's the first among equals. How do you create something you can't articulate?
I was going to say, you can't go in a direction if there is no direction. So yeah,
so that's the first rule.
I love that. And I'm taking notes. So I got my thing. I'm writing these down.
That's the first rule. The second rule is to amplify. You have to constantly be looking for ways to reinforce the aspiration. We chose the term amplify. There's a lot of noise in the world, and there are a lot of skeptics in the world within your own organization. It's like, is this real? Is this legit? Is this going to stick? And you've got to figuratively turn up the volume, and you've got to do things to make people believe that you are in fact going to pursue that aspiration. One very tactical thing that it's the number one thing I believe a leader can do, and that's role modeling. People always watch the leader, and you can reinforce that aspiration, or you can nullify it based on your own actions. So that's the second rule. You got to amplify. And then here's the kicker. I know leaders love to get things done, check things off, move on. If you have a clear aspiration and you amplify it well, your culture will begin to move toward the aspiration. Far too many leaders want to check the box. They want to say they're done. They want to move on. In fact, many of them will take a half a step further and they move into protection mode. Well, if you try to shrink wrap your culture, you'll suffocate. You'll suffocate it. The third rule is you have to adapt. You have to constantly be looking for ways to enhance your culture, whether that's closing critical gaps and eliminating toxins. Toxins are patterns of unhealthy and unproductive behavior. If you sense a toxin, you've got to get rid of it. Or you can double down on your strengths. That's another way to enhance your culture. Or you can add new capabilities. We did this 10 or 12, 15 years ago. We decided we needed to be more innovative as an organization. Now, we weren't strangers to innovation. Truett Cathy invented the chicken sandwich, but there were pockets and moments, and it was more sporadic. And we said, we need that to be part of our culture. And so we set a new aspiration. We began to amplify that through many, many different means and activities. And here we are all these years later, and we're more innovative as an organization and as a culture because we said we can adapt by adding a new capability. So those are kind of the three rules in a nutshell.
And you can see, and again, I go back to the drive-through because I can't think of any product over the last 5 years that you guys are offering that I didn't know about 5 years ago. There might be one that slipped into the menu, but I would say that I eat there twice as much as I ever did. And it's because there's no doubt. Literally, when my wife heard I was doing this interview, she goes, have him send us some coupons. She's literally like 20 feet away out of the studio. But yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, who's my target customer? How can I get them to fall more in love with me and make this whole buying process easy? That's kind of business 101. And you guys figured it out. And I can see great culture allowed you to pivot, where that would have been a total reinvention of the wheel for a new company, for a company who hadn't already started this having the culture that say, we want that challenge. You know what I mean? This is, it's in our DNA. This is, we're built for this.
Yeah. Yeah. Leaders animate culture. I mean, that was the big overarching idea, I guess I should say, or not, right? Yeah. No organization, no culture drifts to greatness. They have to be led there. And it's the leader is uniquely positioned, and I would argue has the responsibility as the architect of the culture. Everybody's going to have one. It's either going to be by design or by default. And you don't want a culture by default.
Love it. I have Mark Miller, the author of Culture Rules. He is also the Vice President of High Performance Leadership at Chick-fil-A. So great to have you. It's kind of a standard ending of this, but, you know, where can you buy the book? I can think of one place. and then how can people connect with you, Mark?
Yeah, you can buy the book just about anywhere you want. It's everywhere, just launched. So, you know, that's the answer to that. You can connect with me at leadeveryday.com, or you can call or text. My cell number is 678-612-8441.
Gotta love that. Hey, that's all going to be in the show notes. Again, I have Mark Miller. We've been studying leadership and culture today. You got some really good stuff. I took some amazing notes. I have my app, Aspire, Amplify, and Adapt, the big three. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. So grateful that you continue to. It's number one in marketing this morning as we speak. It was number four, number five in all business podcasts as I'm sitting here in my studio right now. I want to thank you so much for listening. If you could rate it, subscribe to it. Thank you so much. And just share it with five other people. It's the one podcast that gives you the most in the shortest amount of time, because your host has a very short attention span. Thank you so much. And we will talk again soon.